Welcome to Faith-Based Mental Health. This is your host, Colt Wagner, and I am here with my co-host, Dr. Ron. How are you today, Dr. Ron?
Well, there's only one word that can sum it up. And that's the word.
I'm not sure that, you know, really described it, but we'll take it over another one of your rhymes. So good to hear. So we have been talking about many facets of relationships. We've been talking about fighting. We've been talking about falling in love. We've been talking about true love and kind of how to kind of approach love in an intelligent way, which is something I think probably not a lot of people think a lot about, but we did that in the form of the RAM. If you haven't heard that episode, I highly recommend you go back and hear it. Today, I want to bring up a new topic, still about relationships, still about love. And by the way, for any of our listeners who are single, not married yet, just want to remind you, this podcast is not just about, you know, love and relationships and marriage. We just are starting here. So, you know, stick with us and you're probably getting some good stuff for you for your future relationships anyway. So today I want to talk about forgiveness. And specifically in the context of relationships, but certainly I'm sure that we can talk about some good forgiveness principles in general. This being a faith-based podcast and you know, me being a Christian pastor and you've been a pastor, you've been a chaplain, a counselor, the Bible talks a lot about forgiveness. It is all throughout. I mean, it's Old Testament, it's New Testament. I just want to read a verse to us real quick. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ forgave you." Forgiving each other as Christ has forgiven us, that's a tall order. He forgives constantly, some pretty ridiculous things from me at least. So Dr. Ron, let's talk about forgiveness. Let's talk about forgiveness as Christians and as people in relationships in general. What do you have for us on that?
Well, it certainly is foundational for spirituality. You know, when the disciples were asking Jesus, "How do I pray?" That's pretty basic to faith, you know, the idea of prayer. And really, really fundamental for mental health as well. We'll get into that in another episode. Why prayer impacts your level of anxiety and depression. But when they were asking him that question, the answer that he gave was very telling. And there's a portion of it that talks about forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. So there's this measure of that which has been given to me, I therefore give to others, and it's this forgiveness model. And it's super healthy and super important in relationships that we learn to do forgiveness well. And not just often, but certainly often. I think there's a Bible verse that talks about how often, if you'll recall. Do you remember that one, Colt?
Absolutely. Matthew, this isn't how often, but this is how many times, but that's where my mind went. Matthew 18, you know, Peter's asking, "Should I forgive my brother 7 times? And Jesus is like, "Well, no, 70 times seven, just, you know, continue on forgiving." But we do forgive, and I think this is where you're going. It just clicked in my mind. I may be a pastor, but it doesn't mean I've constantly got every verse. But you're talking forgive each day.
Right. And then the 70 times 7 is kind of an interesting number. We just celebrated our 20th year of wedded bliss.
And every day, wedded bliss, right?
Yeah, I've been counting now, and I've just about reached 70 times 7. I think she might have surpassed it. So I don't know. Does that qualify us to stop forgetting?
I think that's done.
No. No, I think the idea of the number 7 being the number of completion and 70 times 7 indicating that it's just complete completion, if you will. There's just no escaping our need to both be forgiven and to forgive others. And there's another scripture that really sticks out about this, and it's a couple of different ways mentioned, but the gist of it is, if you find yourself in an act of worship at church, you know, and you discover there on your face or in your act of prayer, the form of conviction that the Lord often gives to us, where you remember that you've done something offensive to your brother or your sister or your spouse, that you really should stop, even in the midst of, just walk out of church, you know, literally get up, leave, and make things right. Because, you know, it's right there in the foundational prayer. You can't even begin to enter into the most basic fundamental forms of spirituality without understanding and exercising forgiveness.
Well, from a faith standpoint, forgiveness is an act of obedience to God. And I know we're going to get into this, but forgiveness is obviously good for my own soul and for my own psyche and for my, you know, my spouses, if that's the case. But it's also an act of obedience to God. So if I'm, you know, at church worshiping or just in prayer, and it comes to me like, oh man, there's this person that I'm holding on to this grudge or this thing about, then I think really the act of worship that God really wants from me in that moment is, hey, quit singing that Caleb song or praying that prayer and call that guy, call that girl, and forgive them, because that is more of that. That's an even more important act of worship in that moment to God than the prayer that I was praying.
Yeah. Forgive them or ask them for forgiveness.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So unforgiveness is really the poison that we choose to drink.
Something
that really dawns on me about it is, quite often those of us who choose offense, you know, there's a great book on this called The Bait of Satan. I need to put a link to that on the page. Those of us who choose offense, we find ourselves stewing, we find ourselves brewing, we find ourselves losing sleep, literally engaged in anxiety in a manner that literally takes life away from us, shortens our life, causes all manner of autoimmune deficiencies. Meanwhile, the person to whom we're withholding forgiveness is often blissfully unaware, sleeping peacefully, and we're the only ones being negatively affected by unforgiveness, generally. So it is often the poison that we choose to drink, unforgiveness.
And like you said, we're not hurting the other person. It's just hurting me. It's just messing up my day. And it can. I mean, depending on the situation, I'm sure each of our listeners has had a moment where that ruined their whole day. And it might ruin a whole lot more than that if you let it. Like you said, it's the poison we choose to drink. If I was on Twitter more, I would tweet that out, but I'll probably just Facebook it out at some point, because that is good. You didn't make that up. You didn't make that up, did you?
I have no idea where that comes from.
All right. It came from Dr. Ron.
But you might want to tweet it before Elon Musk takes over the company. I don't know.
Oh yeah, it's true. Whole nother topic. But yeah, we'll see how that turns out. Okay, so forgiveness is important. We've kind of established that, and I think, again, whether you're a person of faith or not, you know this is true. This is just an obvious factor of life. Not always easy to do, though.
Not easy to do. And there's an anatomy of forgiveness that really needs to be explored, especially in the context of relationships. In the context of relationships, it generally takes two people to really engage in forgiveness. The first is the person who is actively seeking forgiveness, and then the second is the person who is actively granting forgiveness. And there's a dance that takes place between the two of these, which we'll unpack in a moment. But there's another type of forgiveness that I also would like to unpack. And that's forgiveness in which it's not safe or healthy for you to grant the forgiveness in a way in which the other person is seeking. I guess I'm not really saying it as clearly as I want to, but let me give you a case in point. in the event that someone's been abused, you know, and they're harboring bitterness and they're harboring even hatred in their heart for the abuser. And sometimes even the abuser will pass away. And now this person is in a state of needing to let go, needing to forgive, but not being able to safely receive the assurance that the abuse won't continue. So if I pick up the phone, even if they haven't passed away, if I pick up the phone and I try to communicate my act of forgiveness, because that's what I need to heal, then it's likely that I will receive even more abuse in exchange and further traumatize myself. So there's a particular form of forgiveness that I call pardon.
Okay.
And when you think of pardon, the idea of pardon, I think, is very empowering to people who have experienced abuse. When you think about it, the visual that I have in my mind is a king pardoning one of the serfs.
Yeah.
You know, there's a movie, Schindler's List, in which the actor who portrays Schindler tries to get the guard who is above some of the people who are encamped there to simply pardon as an act of demonstrating power over the people that he's imprisoned. So it's a very powerful and moving scene where the guy says, "I pardon you," you know, and he dips his fingers like he's Nero or something like this, you know, and it's, he didn't realize he was being emotionally manipulated by the Schindler character. But there is something empowering to say to an abuser, or at least in your own heart, "I choose to pardon you because I know that you're not capable of seeking forgiveness for one reason or another, and I need healing in my heart, so I pardon you. I release you."
So does that – and I want to mention real quick, because I think, you know, quickly people's minds, because mine honestly did for a second, can shift right to like, oh, we're talking – extreme abusive relationships, maybe physical abuse. And we are talking that. But I think also this could happen in a situation where I'm really upset with someone for something they did. But if I go and tell them, "Hey, man, I forgive you for what happened," they may very well be like, "What are you talking about? You don't have, I didn't do anything wrong. You don't have anything to forgive." And that kind of amplifies the fight. So it doesn't have to be an extreme, you know, they're trying to like physically abuse me. It could, I'm guessing it could also be a situation where it would amplify the fight for me to go to them and say, you know, "I forgive your wrongdoing."
Yeah. Now, my caveat on this is that I always prefer the latter. I always prefer going to the person and having a mature adult conversation. And I'll explain and unpack why I think that's healthy, needed, and important. But I also, before I begin to go, "Oh, this is step one, this is step two, this is how you engage in forgiveness," I want to acknowledge for people who have experienced extreme trauma and hurt that there are ways to find healing that doesn't require activity on the other person's behalf. This is the idea of pardon. But in the vast majority of situations where you have two healthy, mature people who hurt each other, It is in the best case to be able to have the following conversation, which is the steps for seeking and the steps for granting forgiveness.
Okay. And before you go to that, so I just want to be clear, there are some situations where, especially, you know, whether it's a pardon or whatever the case may be, it may not happen via actual conversation. It may just be, "I know and God knows that I've forgiven you, that I've pardoned you, and I'm ready to move on now." And you know, and maybe there'll be a time in the future where that other person realizes and matures, but until then, that's just God knows and I know, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And a lot of this has been developed from my interactions with a lot of the clientele that I speak to, particularly in the military situation. You know, you've got, you know, somebody trying to kill you. That's traumatic. And it would not be beneficial for you to go back to that war zone and try to find that person and say, "I forgive you." But at the same time, it's not necessarily healthy to harbor hatred toward that person what I've seen a lot of is toward that particular people group. You know, we see a lot of Vietnam veterans, for example, who have extreme hatred and prejudice against, you know, Asian Americans. We see, you know, even with the modern war on terror, we see a lot of prejudice against people of Arab descent. And it's really trauma that has turned into bitterness and unforgiveness. And it's really healthy and helpful for those veterans to be able to say, I choose to pardon you for the things that took place in war. To begin to view the enemy as human, you know, and pardon and find a sense of healing. It's really hard to say. And I know there's a lot of people who have been abused and traumatized who immediately revolt against the notion, because in their mind, that person does not deserve to be forgiven, does not deserve pardon. And holding on to that bitterness in some ways, they sort of validates their current existence. And so my work with them is very slow and very meticulous, coming to a place of realizing that letting go is actually helpful and empowering to the person who has been traumatized. So heavy stuff.
Absolutely. And one last note I want to make before we get to what I think you're trying to get, you'd like to get to is, you know, you talk about, oh, they don't deserve it. I've known a lot of people, you know, I've not counseled in the settings that you counsel. I've done some pastoral counseling, but I've also just known a lot of people who have said things like that. That person doesn't deserve my forgiveness. And again, I, you know, as a pastor, my mind, just as a Christian, really, my mind goes back to the Bible telling us to forgive as Christ has done for us. And it's like, we don't deserve it at all. We never did. We never will. Yet he does. And so that's certainly an element of it. That's not a simple, hey, let me just throw that Bible verse at you and then it's going to fix everything necessarily, maybe, but not necessarily. But it's true, is that none of us deserves it, but we give it. And like you said, when we do, it actually helps me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think about that. The Bible calls willful sin the equivalent of hammering the nails in. Wow. That's traumatic. How many times have I crucified a person, you know, Jesus? How many times have I done that? And yet, not only does he forgive, but he loves me. I can't fathom that one bit. I have not arrived at the place in life where I have the capacity to operate on that level of forgiveness, but I'm really trying to be.
And Dr. Ron, it looks like we are about out of time for this episode. I know there's still some good things for us to get to as far as forgiveness. You've still got some pearls to impart to us. So we'll probably just have to do a part two on this one. But for now, I'd just like to ask, do you have any final thoughts about forgiveness and the aspects that we've talked about so far?
Yeah, as we talked about pardon, it dawned on me that the reason why pardon is so fresh in my mind is because when it comes to working out my own spirituality, I am technically not in a very good position to meet God halfway or even a quarter of the way or an eighth of the way in terms of what we'll get into in the next episode of seeking and granting forgiveness. So what I find is that I stand guilty before a spiritual court and in need of pardon myself, in need of one-way act of forgiveness. And there's nothing that I can do to earn it. There's nothing that I can do to justify what's happened to me in my life. And because that is true for me, it gives me a model of how I can then pardon and forgive others.
Absolutely, Dr. Ron. I love that. And I don't want to add too much. I won't add anything to it because you've said it perfectly and because we're at the right time.
Yeah. And I'd also like to say that the dog that just barked is in need of pardon as well.
Yes. So yes.
For those of you listening who have heard the dog bark, we are officially all together now. We are pardoning the dog.
Yes. Yes. You are forgiven or pardoned. I guess we'll stick with the word. All right. So I'll just finish this off by saying, you know, first of all, thank you, Dr. Ron. I know I've gotten some good information here on forgiveness. And I know that there's more good stuff to come. So listener, be sure to tune in again with us next week. And if you got something good out of today's episode, please go ahead and hit that subscribe button and invite a friend to listen to the next one as well. And if you find yourself hearing some good things on forgiveness and connecting with it, but knowing that you might need a little bit more help, you might want to talk to someone, please do contact us at serenitycarecounseling.com. We would love to hook you up with a counselor or a life coach if that is what you need at this place in your life. Thank you, Dr. Ron. Thank you, listener. We will see you next time.
Aloha.